Separation slash forgiveness. Our interpretation of every event in our lives is based upon our previous experiences. We bring our past experiences to every perception. This is why we are never upset for the reason we think. We are rarely in the present. We base our every experience upon past events, since this is where we go in the file, brain computer, in order to determine how to respond. So nothing is new. Ram Dass wrote in his book, Be Here Now, that if we could stay in the present, which our ego minds so loathe, we could not possibly have any upset. Our upsets are always only a reminder of something which exists only in our recollection of our pasts. Next time you are upset, ask yourself of what this situation reminds you. Now bring it forward and see how you are simply re-watching a bad movie and responding the same way. Turn off the bad movie and see it as neutral, not good, just neutral. The circumstances we create in life are solely for the opportunity for us to forgive ourselves for having judged, generally as bad, and hence holding ourselves as the guilty party, previous similar circumstances. This is why what we deem as the same damn thing over and over does indeed continue to show up in our lives. The upset itself is the opportunity to take responsibility, release the emotion, and forgive the judgment. Every day I release any energy I might have on regret of the past, fear of the future, fear-based emotions, and anything unlike love. We all have a commitment to looking good because we think it has something to do with our lovableness. It hasn't. Our perception of circumstances can cause us to override the purpose of relationship, thereby causing their demise. This is tragic demonstration that we believe there is something more valuable to us than the knowing that the living soul before us is our own self, and whose sole purpose is to remind us that we can overcome any suffering we experience by joining with him/her and remembering to forget the seemingly important incident. Bert Hotchkiss, in his book, Your Owner's Manual, describes a car collision where the other guy was clearly at fault, very apologetic, and got his insurance company onto it immediately. For years Bert had suffered with back pain, and now, this incident aggravated it. A woman from the insurance company came to his house and asked Bert how much money it would take to make him whole. Bert had to remember that he was already whole, and what an interesting way of relating the concept of compensation. The amount of money he could recover from this accident was substantial. All he had to do was complete the claim form and mail it in. He spent days poring over this form, never feeling quite right about it. However, finally, he did finish it up and headed for the post. He drove around the block several times, considering the fact that this claim form was evidence that the other driver was separate from him. Finally, he did not post the form, he tore it up, and put the entire incident behind him. He awoke the next day, completely free of back pain, and never, ever again experienced any of the pain which he had suffered for years prior to this accident. What an opportunity this auto accident was. How many of us can see that this sort of ostensible problem in our lives is the proverbial blessing in disguise? It's all up to us and our perception of it. I healed my arthritic thumb via the same process. For about 5 months I noticed that I could not lift a 1-pound jar with my right hand without having to use my left to support it. Since I was only 45 at the time, the anticipation of this being the beginning of arthritis in my hands was so frightening that I tried not to think about it and hence, didn't do anything about it. One evening I'd had enough, I was feeling quite powerful, and so I asked myself about what I was being so inflexible, of which I had in fact been accused by a certain 85 family member. I got my answer, and after a promise to myself that I would no longer take so seriously the stand I had been taking, I forgave myself for my rigidity. From that instant on, I have had no pain or lack of strength in that thumb. But story about our all being one is obvious, as it involved $$$, the grandest measure of our separateness. It separates the haves from the have-nots, the CEOs from the blue collars, and you know it has nothing to do with brains, the jet-setters from the couch potatoes, the mansions from the shanties, the Riviera from the campground, the lender from the borrower, the creditor from the debtor. Yet, not so obvious are the everyday situations in which we choose to make someone our debtor, whether it was someone's not doing his job and thereby forcing us to do it, or someone taking advantage of us, stealing our time, effort, talent, love, whatever, we translate it into their owing us. Except in the case of wrongful death, we seem capable of allowing money to compensate us for whatever we feel we are owed by the one who has grieved us. This is why there is inordinate litigation. We believe in compensation, we believe dollar will make us whole again, restore us to who we think we are. But we cannot feel as if someone owes us without simultaneously feeling he is separate from us. Our belief that someone owes us keeps us believing in something which is untrue. The degree to which we allow money to keep us stuck in the concept of debtor/creditor is the degree to which we believe we are separate. Our belief that we are separate from each other is destroying our lives. I think we feel shame over the entire concept of dollar solely because we know at some level it is what keeps us from completely joining with another. A prenuptial agreement is a great example. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. What better way to begin a relationship, which by definition means a degree of oneness, than by declaring up front what is separate? I laugh at myself when I think that there was a time when I probably could have gone into such a contract with a straight face. I used to think that volunteering for anything was stupid. The more often I behave as if no one is separate from me, the more evidence I will gather that this is true, since the results of my offering will prove it. It's a spooky thought, taking every opportunity to assist others when my life matters most. But I'd always take care of myself first, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be capable of assisting another. So I must consider first my own well-being. Remember, the oxygen masks in airplanes, put yours on before assisting another. My resultant sanity, strength, intuition, and courage will allow me more ability to be present for others. We serve others best by serving ourselves. W.M. Shakespeare, my friend, the crazy doctor, told Medicare she will no longer require their services, meaning she will treat patients who cannot pay her and she will not be submitting bills to Medicare for reimbursement. If patients choose to compensate her in some fashion, which might mean vegetables from their gardens, or not at all, she could not care less. True, she did have other private paying patients, yet she realized supporting Medicare was, in a circuitous manner, supporting government benefits which makes slaves of us all. Her ensuing peace of mind was by far greater than any funds she might receive from the feds. Declaring we will no longer charge for our services is scary, but it is something we must do if we intend to become our true selves. As long as we stay in the smallness of the commerce game due to fear of the repercussions of getting out of it, we will never rise above it to become the powerful living souls we are meant to become. The day dawned when to remain enclosed in a bud became more painful than the risk it took to blossom. I know that what I intend to implement will catch on, if only because people's lives will work better. David Hawkins, in his book, Power vs. Force, outlines precisely what level of consciousness, measured in energy, is required to counterbalance the lower levels of consciousness. When enough of us become enlightened, allegedly calculated to the square root of 1% of the world's population, which is just over 8,000 people, the level of consciousness of the entire universe will shift. Hawkins even states the numbers and claims that we have, in fact, already reached critical mass. ACIM states that when this level of consciousness reaches this point, the manifestation of our thought energy will be the disappearance of the entire universe, just as our present thought energy manifests the universe as it is now. When we wake up and know that none of this is real, it is only the matrix, it will cease to exist. Upon our awakening from the dream, we will be back home in the infinite energy with our Creator. As yet, the only reason we have yet to 86 experience this is because of the slow vibration of the dense physicality in which we live. It has occurred already at the spiritual level. As David Icke says, those who want to keep us entrapped in the density of the never-ending matrix, what the Hindus call the never-ending cycle of death and rebirth, will simply fail, which is why they are flailing in their desperation to keep us from becoming enlightened. Yet it is already done. This is a very exciting time. Very soon we will experience it. The end of the world as we know it, why is this such a threat? I think life on this planet as we know it is unacceptable to about 95% of the world's population. I look forward to the end of the world as we know it. Not only does my intuition tell me that it is about to change drastically, but also many other sources suggest the same thing. I used to think that the Mayan calendar was akin to the Gregorian calendar in that it measures the passage of time. It does not, it measures the levels of creation. MayanMaj9.com has a bunch of info to help us understand where we're headed, and even more important, that this can be only good, better, and best news. Here's just a brief outline of the past and next few years. Dates are approximate. 1999, seeds of consciousness are planted. 2000, consciousness is activated. 2001, polarity is displayed. 2002, old and new consciousness collide. 2003, truth rolls out whether we like it or not. 2004, adjustments to truth, don't hang on, go with the flow. 2005, new foundations of human relations. 2006, ethical procedures are implemented. 2007, we meet our galactic neighbors. 2008, end of manufactured lack. 2009, consciousness surpasses technology. 2010, bliss we need to practice. 2011, we evolve to conscious co-creation of existence and experience. The end of the world as we know it, exciting, eh? We are all faced with a series of great opportunities disguised as impossible situations. I want freedom and imperturbability more than control, security, and approval. If you think something outside of yourself is the cause of your problem, you will look outside of yourself for the answer. Do you feel fear when I say there will be an economic collapse, one of the results of which will be no SS/CP when it is our time to collect? Be certain to recognize that your fear is not about your future, it is about your belief in your powerlessness. Why would you think that there being no government-issued financial security in your future has anything to do with who you are and what you can do? If you want to come from a powerful position, if you want others to think of you as powerful, then come from love. People perceive love as all-powerful. Because it is. Remember who you are. You are not what you think you are, what you think you are. Red Pritchard. Inevitably I am asked, you think you can change the world? Well, yes, and no. Yes, because the world is only a huge manifestation of my consciousness, so I can change it anytime I choose. And no, because there is no world to change, it is all just a manifestation of what is going on in my collective mind. Once I change my mind and raise my level of consciousness, which Ram Dass says, equals energy, love, light, awareness, wisdom, beauty, truth, purity, I can change what appears to be out there in the world. The Mayans state this will occur in less than six years. There are innumerable sources of this information, do not take only my word for this. I continue to discover it in every imaginable manner, I am stunned by how known this really is. Do not expect to see this on the 11 o'clock news. This concept is anathema to the PTB and the agenda of the NWO. It serves them not, their design to keep us in fear will ultimately fail, we will prevail as long as we keep in mind that they also are a projection of our fears. When we clean up our thinking, they also will cease to exist. They are only part of the nightmare which we have dreamt due to our belief in guilt. Those in our dream, the international banksters, are simply the boogeymen whom we have created to punish us for our belief in our guilt. They continue to keep us thinking we are guilty of one thing or another in order for them to control us. But it is we who must simply say, no. It is simply a case of turning around in our dream in which we are being chased by the monster and facing it and realizing it is something we made up to scare us for the purpose of furthering our fears, thereby creating a vicious cycle. If we stop feeling fear, the bad guys simply dematerialize because it is our fear which feeds 87 them. They are only a manifestation of our fear. If we raise our level of consciousness, we can no longer manifest this type of horror. They require our fear in order to exist. We release our fear and they cease to exist. Remember the wizard in the Wizard of Oz. We are simply watching the ugly parts of the horror movie because we know the ending is happy. It is just a question of time, which also exists only in our minds. But we must become conscious enough to recognize this. Many are putting this entire end of the world as we know it on the back burner, pretending it isn't happening. This is tantamount to ignore it and it'll go away. We must acknowledge that we are the creators of all this nonsense, and just as we were powerful enough to create it, we are powerful enough to create something better. Remember who you are. How do we raise our level of consciousness? By remembering the golden rule. Whenever I feel anger towards someone, usually a family member, as it is the purpose of everyone in my life to get me to face myself, I immediately notice that this is a result of my belief that he is separate from me, and that my response to his behavior is only the opportunity for me to forgive this belief. As quickly as possible, I remember that what my ego is presently telling me is that he is separate from me and deserves punishment for his behavior. What is true is that he is another manifestation of my consciousness, and that I, the real me, the extension of my creator, my spirit self, created that instant solely for the purpose of reminding me of the truth. I created it all since it is my dream. I created people and circumstances only for my ultimate benefit. The opportunity is for me to stop my ego from telling me that the way I can save my soul is to project my guilt onto another. But, 1. There is no guilt, only my belief in my guilt. 2. There is no other, only my belief that this manifestation of my energy/consciousness is not connected to me in any way. 3. Projecting my guilt onto another, getting angry, only reinforces my belief in my guilt, thereby reducing, not increasing, my level of energy and consciousness. I am convinced that this is the biggest cause of exhaustion, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. The solution is to remember that I created the entire scene for the salvation of my soul, and do I want to take this opportunity right now, since now is all there is, or do I want to waste more eons of time and energy? There is no time, however, we do experience it in that we want to spend it in joy and not in pain. I quickly recall that the only reason this entire circumstance exists is for me to forgive my belief in my guilt. I can take the opportunity or leave it. I grab it and remember that this other entity is myself, and how do I want to be treated? I want to be treated with love. This is the only acceptable answer. I want to feel love. How can I do this for myself? As soon as I choose to do this, my belief in my guilt disappears. I am happier, more joyful, and I have raised my level of consciousness enough to counterbalance a bit more of the negative energy of the universe, which I have created in many other aspects, times and places, of the hologram which I created in an instant. I am now capable of seeing every single second of my day as this opportunity. This is all there is. I no longer really have a life with a past and a future, and this is the way I want it. I just continue to create opportunities for me to forgive my belief in my guilt. I have no goal other than this. I do intend certain circumstances in which to allow these opportunities to occur, e.g., to find friends who have this identical intention. This becomes easier for me to attract, because with each forgiveness opportunity my level of consciousness increases, and I am likely to attract whatever my consciousness deems significant. When our level of energy, vibration, is slow, we attract things and entities which resonate at that level. We can actually remain at a low level of energy for long periods of time, which causes us to believe that the world is not good. This in turn causes us to feel despondent, which lowers our energy and consciousness even more, and we continue to create low energy circumstances. This is how we got to this slow, dense, thick, heavy level of the matrix in the first place. It continues to get thicker, and the evidence is that which is going on in the world. We can change our minds and begin an upward spiral out of this mess. Yet energy must remain balanced, which means that the worse it all seems to get, the better it is getting at the same time. When we raise our consciousness, we change the world, except that there is no world, except in our minds. Keeping in mind that this level of consciousness is what works for those who are running the world, doesn't it behoove us to raise our consciousness in order to shift it? We must remain vigilant, yet not react to them, and most certainly not fear them. I recall hearing Ken Wapnick years ago saying, "If you really want to change something in the world, whether it is child abuse, war, environment pollution, do your work at home, forgive your parents, your children, your spouse." I thought he was out of his mind. I now know he is completely accurate. There is child abuse, war, pollution, etc. only because I think that the people in my life are separate from me. It is as 88 simple as that. Apply the golden rule, yet know what it means, don't accept it as religious dogma, realize it is our ticket out of this mess. We can only become wealthy by eliminating dollar from our lives. The means to do this is to remember to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. The bulk of our behavior is motivated by fear, which is due to the programming of our subconscious mind. Unless we actively take conscious action to behave from love, we are automatically behaving due to our having been hypnotized to believe in fear. This is no coincidence. All our programming, school, TV, print, audio, visual, news, everything is for the purpose of programming us to fear and hence to behave from fear as opposed to from love. When we feel fear, we can be controlled and manipulated. Knowing this, we can subsequently know that every circumstance which our programmed subconscious mind creates is for the purpose of choosing whether to believe it as it appears or to see it as the opportunity to forgive ourselves for creating something fearful. When I forgave my father for loving me only when I worked and earned dollar, the following shifted. 1. I realized he and his behavior existed only in my mind for the sole purpose of forgiveness. 2. I realized that it was I who was loving me only upon the condition that I work and earn a lot of dollar. 3. My energy and consciousness both increased. 4. I remembered that the whole thing is my creation for the purpose of remembering that infinite love is all there is. Everything else is illusion. There is a story of a monk who moved into a new town, and when a young girl became pregnant, the people wanted to know who was responsible. She answered, "The Buddhist monk." The people stormed his house and demanded that he financially support the child, to which he agreed. Years later, the girl confessed that the monk was not responsible, and so the people of the town asked him why he agreed to pay. He responded, "You requested I do this, and so I did. It was just the next thing in my life which showed up for me to do, it was what was needed and wanted." He didn't get caught up in the meaning of it all, and most certainly did not defend himself. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. ACIM thoughts left unattended are about 85% negative. If we are vigilant, we can choose to think something else when we detect them. If our choice is kindness, we just saved us all much time and energy. Love is exponentially more powerful than fear. Use those close to you for this purpose. This is their sole function in your life. This is why you created them, to serve you. But they are to serve you in only one way, because this is the only way any of us can function. Life is only love or not love, there is no other option. Choose what works. I know it can be difficult to wrap one's mind around this, however, I suggest that if you are diligent and do it as an experiment, the results will convince you. We must do this every instant, sorry, but this is the only way it will work. Take heart as, so we must breathe almost every instant also, so just incorporate forgiveness into your perception as your means to your survival. Stay conscious. Barter. Although I feel certain that we will arrive, I think barter will be the interim step. There is nothing wrong with this. The locals of Ithaca, New York use Ithaca hours notes, which are worth hours, not dollar. The dentist's hour is no more valuable than the chambermaid's hour. Apparently, Cambridge, Ontario is using its own currency called community dollars. The people of Argentina learned the hard way. The IMF stole all their property, their production, their labor, and their lives because they could no longer pay the arbitrarily increasing rate of interest on the fictitious loan. As one woman put it, after the banks collapsed, and the people returned to bartering their labor and productivity among themselves, we just figured, if they won't give us their money, fine, we'll make our own. And they did. They are now thriving on their own interest-free currency. No more poverty. They no longer have to produce 3 times their needs and sell 2/3 of it to pay artificial interest payments to banks. They will not accept cash of any kind or even the fictitious value of gold. Barter, whether we use our own self-created currency or whether we use electronic trade credits from barter exchanges and networks, is a perfect next step in our realization that we are all one, because it will move us away from the banks, which are literally stealing our health, wealth, love, peace of mind, labor, production, talent, spirit, our lives. Barter is a fabulous way to get out from under the international banksters. The government itself uses barter, and 68% of all Fortune 500 corporations are involved in barter. You think they don't know it works? 89 Since banking is fraud, then any other alternative banking system, e.g., the gold standard, is still fraud. Unless, as Tim Madden says, someone out there has $250 billion to bail out the banks, we are headed for a financial collapse. If we do not have barter in place, there will be suffering. Money is purely and simply an illusion used by the banks to steal the efforts of our production and to enslave us all. It would behoove us all to get out of the fraudulent banking system sooner than later. Barter, however, still suggests a debtor/creditor relationship. We are at our happiest when we are being who we really are, whether this is lending our energy, exuding our talents, giving our time. I contend that women will be the first to get moving on this because, while men continue to compete, our nature is to be cooperative. We women can and will make the quantum leap from nightmare to awake, $$$ to love. Peacetime is actually speeding up, or collapsing. For thousands of years the Schumann resonance or pulse, heartbeat, of Earth has been 7.83 cycles per second. The military has used this as a very reliable reference. However, since 1980 this resonance has been slowly rising. It is now over 12 cycles per second. This means there is the equivalent of less than 16 hours per day instead of the old 24 hours. The message is to follow our hearts, our gut feelings and intuition, not our intellect. We must be discerning with the feelings and information we process. Does it resonate with us? Work towards healing the planet and self and say no to those who wish to control us. The Mayan calendar can help free us from the time/$$$ circle, liberate the mind, and open the way to the new age beyond time and $$$. Earhart said, "When I'm enlightened, everything trains me." I had no idea what he was talking about. We are to seize every opportunity to forgive and remember that what seems to be adverse is only to remind us of this, thereby making it easier and less time-consuming. This is what relationship is all about, and in particular with those to whom we are closest, those who make us crazy, those with whom we live. Tara Singh explained that prior to a chosen lifetime we know the purpose of life is to forgive, and we promise that if we are given the chance to live another life we will only love and forgive. Alas, when we arrive we tend to forget our vow and live life in a manner which doesn't work from fear. My life changed dramatically in 2003 when I was reconnected, thereconnection.com. It was 6 months before I realized how happy and powerful I had been feeling. It allowed me to write this book. Every illusional circumstance which our programmed, subconscious mind creates is an opportunity consciously to forgive our belief in our guilt via forgiving others who are ostensibly involved. I want freedom and imperturbability more than control, security, and approval. We never do anything wrong. Or right for that matter, we simply make choices which must be made in order to stay in the game. Our interpretation of them dictates our state of mind. The events are immaterial and irrelevant. The facts are on the moon, where we go with our choices is all that matters. Commerce itself is only a manifestation of what is going on in our minds. Everything is only a manifestation of the energy from our thoughts. We believe we are separate from each other and we believe we are separate from our Creator. The PTB are only reflecting back our beliefs. They are literally laughing all the way to the bank. Yet they are our saviors because they are teaching us, albeit brutally, in my opinion, that we are to honor our contracts, our word is our bond, and not to make promises we can't keep. If there is the slightest doubt in our minds about what we are entering into, we have the authority to reject any offer of contract. This applies to every area of our lives commonly called learning to say no. If we dishonor ourselves by contracting when we really don't want to, there are serious consequences, the main one being our integrity and ethics are compromised. Since this is paramount in our spiritual growth, I say the feds are just reminding us, however harsh this generally is. If we can regard them in this manner, we can use them to improve our lives by setting our intentions higher. Again, we must listen to our intuition and not let anyone seemingly outside ourselves have any authority over us. We are not to let fear run us. No answer which comes from outside of us can have any value to us. If you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him means, have no gurus, you are all-knowing. Do not take counsel from your fears. The commerce game is a direct result of our own projected thoughts that we are separate from each other, from our Creator, that we are competing not only with each other but also vying for the love and acceptance of our Creator, all based upon our belief that we will be punished for our having separated from it. How can we separate from something that is omnipresent? One of the most glaring manifestations of this fear is that we believe there is an authority outside ourself. Our true authority is our own self, which is the extension of our Creator. There is no authority outside ourselves. We can't even say that God is our 90 authority, because God is not separate from us, although our egos most certainly want us to think it is, solely for the purpose of perpetrating the fraud that we are alone, unsafe, unconnected. We can choose at any instant to change our minds. Earning our living, how did we come to be coerced to believe that we are required to earn our keep? The movie, The Matrix, states we are just batteries, the energy to fuel the pleasure of the PTB, those who never did, never will, never even thought to work a day in their lives. When one is born into slavery, one tends not to question it. Unfortunately, the Protestant work ethic is still alive and well, shaming us into earning a living. Many of us have had jobs/careers which we loved, but rarely do I find anyone who is doing what he truly wants to do. The term, working for someone else, is vastly misunderstood. Everyone complains about it, few understand its gravity. Usually it is said within the context of you'll never get rich working for someone else, yet it's far more serious. Why would anyone do anything for someone else when it doesn't serve oneself first? This is not about serving or not serving, this is about not fulfilling our God-given right, not to mention our God-given order to be joyful. As extensions of our Creator, we are co-creators. All we experience, we create. With our signatures, we create the funds we use to obtain what we think we want, yet this has little to do with money, it has to do with our ability, desire, right, and expectation to create. Why are we made to feel as if we have to pay for this? Or anything? I always wondered about the 144,000 mentioned in Revelations. Surely there are more than this number on the planet who consider themselves worthy of the alleged rapture, so who are they really? It might be the number of us who, at the precise moment at which it matters, will no longer be operating in commerce. We who have put our faith in our spiritual survival will simply be able to leave our bodies when it gets too gruesome. We will already have ended our concern over our physical survival, the reason for commerce in the first place. It was the government's sole weapon of fear, which is what kept us playing this insidious game, chasing the almighty buck, believing it would save us. We will have removed ourselves from that which kept us bound by the rules of the elite, those who intend to enslave us physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. The only way to win is not to play. Success, I asked myself, what would the success of my book look like? Fame or fortune became my options. I realized that acknowledgement in the form of commercial success would be anathema to my peace of mind. The alternative was fame. Acknowledgements such as, I read your book, you're weird, would be preferable. My intention is to hear remarks such as, your book empowered me to deal with IRS/CRA, collection agents, banks, etc., I now know who I am, I no longer charge for my art, I just love painting, after I read your book, I quit my job, spooky, yet I'm now in control, etc. Question authority. We all knew the alleged authorities had no right to tell us what to do, and yet no one bothered to ask the right questions, which evidenced the fact, the only authority in my life is I. So, I ask that you question everything, in particular every time you find yourself handing over your cash or signing something for no apparent reason. Ask to see the law that requires you to do so, even more important, the enforcement clause, the part about what will happen if I don't, and most important, the proof that the law applies to you. Remember, it only applies to the entity whose name resembles your name, which is a GovT-created fiction designed to get you to pay what the feds ought to be paying you. Use your intuition, do not use agencies, people, books, e.g., the Bible, associations, etc. as your authority. None of them is real. Only your knowing is reliable. 91 Spiritual Economics. The most difficult thing we will ever have to do in life is change our minds about what we believe to be truth. For our entire lives we have been programmed, coerced, propagandized, tricked, manipulated, lied to, deceived almost out of living life itself. We've all heard the many clichés, aphorisms, and quotations which suggest that we must evolve and learn. The lesson is, we are the source of all we experience. If we want to change what we think we are experiencing, we must change our minds about our perceptions. The greatest discovery of any generation is that a living soul can alter his life by altering his attitude. William James. The only thing that keeps me sane is recalling that since I made it all up, as I make up any and all of my dreams, I can change my mind about any part of it at any time. By remembering that none of this is real and none of this is really happening, except in my mind, I know that all I have to do is forgive myself for judging my circumstances, since, why judge something that isn't really happening? Why go back into a dream the next night to fix the bad parts? The bad dream occurred only in my mind. I feel great compunction in permitting previous principle to prevent present progress. I'm willing to change my mind. Incidentally, that was an alliteration. How are we going to remove ourselves from a system designed not to work if we continue to do what they want us to do, slave labor for them as they control us with their paper? What will it take before we say, not only no, but hell, no? I think it will require great numbers of us, only because we will have to stop using the banks. Most of the people I know are complaining about not having enough money. Rather than busy ourselves with second and third jobs, which is precisely what the feds want us to do in order to keep our attention off their deeds, not to mention generate more taxes from those of us who don't know that they are not required to hand it over, we must spend some time and effort on removing ourselves from such a self-defeating system. We are in a downward spiral and working more is only digging us deeper. We must begin to work smarter. This is not about attack, since attack only breeds more guilt which creates anger which perpetuates further attack. This is not about vengeance getting them for all the distress they have caused us, this is about simply choosing no longer to play the game. When enough of us want out of a game which we cannot possibly win, the game will meet its demise, along with those who are depending upon us to continue their charade. We will be free. I understand that a very poignant question might be, why do we believe that our true freedom is so dependent upon money? This is a very difficult belief to bust up, as the entire world functions, rather does not function, on this belief. We can only further convince ourselves that it is real by continuing to play and hence be at the effect of this. When we change our minds about the ostensible power of those who intend to destroy us and realize that we are our own power and authority, we will change our circumstances. Freedom from financial tyranny and oppression will cause us to believe that we are not financially oppressed, which will change our minds about our financial freedom. Finally, we will see that our freedom is not dictated by the state of our finances. What is so mind-boggling is that all of this is being financed by the American people themselves through their own taxes. In other words, the American people are underwriting the destruction of their own freedom and way of life by lavishly financing through federal and state grants the very social scientists who are undermining our national sovereignty and preparing our children to become the dumbed-down vassals of the New World Order. Samuel L. Blumenfeld. Those whom we believe to be thugs are really just very frightened because they know the IMF can call in the loan at any time and they are frantically trying to confiscate as much cash as possible to give them. The longer they can do this, the longer they can stave off the crash, but if we don't pay them as much as we can, the system will collapse like a house of cards. Be willing to put their minds at rest. Sign over as much of your exemption as they ask. Remember, their intent is not to hurt you as much as it is to save their own skins. Have some compassion, remember it's only business. Let's be kind to the servants and give them whatever they require, particularly when we have billions. My personal exemption is worth over $15 billion in Canada and $2.27 million in the USA. It doesn't hurt me in the slightest to sign over $14,000 to MBNA. It is a drop in the bucket. Remember, they are the frightened servants in the basement conspiring to steal the cash of the master of the house, who has so much he doesn't know what to do with it. What we, the masters/sovereigns, don't want is their stealing our productivity, labor, and property. If all they need is dollar dollar dollar, then 92 we can surely let them have that in the form of our exemption via a transfer instrument drawn on our unlimited credit. But if we let them intimidate and scare us into giving them our houses, shame on us for falling for their fear tactics. Lawfully avoiding the draft with all the angst over the allegedly imminent mandatory draft, soon to include Canadians, it is urgent that all young men and women who are waking up to the horrors of this war know that the draft notice, as with everything else the feds present us, is only an offer to contract. We are free to accept it or reject it. The feds present the rather compelling case that one is legally obliged to complete the questionnaire and sign it, but, who said so? If we know who we are, we don't have to do anything we don't want to do. They are pulling every trick in the book to get us to sign our lives away literally. Once our signature is on that contract, we have only three days to rescind it. Never sign any contract unless you agree completely with the terms and conditions therein. One question on this contract one signs when he registers for the draft is, are you a U.S. citizen? What this question really means is, are you a 14th Amendment citizen? In which case you are a government-created, fictional, corporate entity and hence will do as we say as opposed to, are you an American national/American sovereign? In which case all your rights are reserved not only in common law but also in commerce. War is commerce. If you were to answer no to that question, you would not be drafted. You, as sovereign, are always free to volunteer, but only 14th Amendment citizens can be drafted. They are required to do what they are told to do. Why do you think the U.S. wants the illegal aliens, in fact, everyone, to get a driver's license/voter's registration card? They are contracts to become U.S. citizens who immediately lose any freedoms and rights they would otherwise have had as sovereign Americans. If you don't want to go to war and who would, knowing what that private, belligerent, foreign corporation, known as the USG, has in store for anyone who signs up? Then don't sign the contract, the terms of which are not to your liking. Under Article 110 of the Constitution, you have the right to contract and the right not to contract. The entire matter becomes very simple when you remember who you are. Those who go to war are each insured for $10 million. The beneficiary is the USA. Family members get $600,000. The more soldiers who die, the richer become the feds. If the draft becomes mandatory, it will be very important that you remember that you are the master and the feds are only the frightened servants conspiring to steal the property and slash or the life of the master of the house. If you let them scare you into giving up your life, then shame on you for accepting that fear. As with any offer of contract, do not go to the basement, read, court, and contract with them, do not argue with them, do not study their laws to find a loophole which allows you out of their schemes, do not mention the Constitution/Charter of Rights and Freedoms, they can't hear it, do not give them anything other than your firm word that you decline to contract with those who do not have your best interests at heart. Remember, they are desperate, we are to be only kind to them, not to give up our lives to them. This rejection of offer to contract works with any invitation you receive, whether it is an invitation to war or an invitation to court, it's all the same. They are trying to get you to contract and you want to remain free. If you remain vigilant, you can spot them coming a mile away, along with their surreptitious tactics. For those of you who might have read this from the perspective of your public capacity and believe I am giving financial/legal advice or practicing law/medicine without a license, no doubt you have realized by now that I am practicing only common sense and suggesting a better way to play the commerce game, and better yet, no longer to play at all. For the rest of you, remember who you are. 93 Epilogue. I received a letter from a barrister/solicitor representing RBC, Royal Bank, saying, please pay up, and that my previous letter, in which I had requested an invoice evidencing their consideration in order to pay off the entire Visa account, was without legal effect. I told him that his time to provide me with a substantiated claim had expired and that I was not a corporation. I have received nothing from RBC. The barrister and I have established that he has no claim, so there is nowhere he can go with it. He knows that it would be a complete waste of his time and dollar to file suit. I cannot be sued. Obviously, the barrister reported back to RBC that he couldn't file suit, and RBC got their knickers in a knot, resorted to petty larceny, and stole from my account $775. So, I stole it back plus $300 for my time and trouble. I deposited old MBNA and Amex credit card checks and withdrew the cash. So, now we are square. I sent the CEO a true bill for the 2 hours I spent in the bank manager's office coaching him on the banking system. I noticed that my account was about $1,100 in overdraft. The MBNA check was returned to me stamped account closed, which is not true. I settled and closed the accounting, not the account. I'm waiting for RBC to tell me that I wrote a check on an account which was closed. So, what? I created the funds by signing it, what's the problem? A promissory note is a promissory note is a promissory note. Why do they insist upon our using IMF notes when my note, according to the Bills of Exchange and Bank of Canada Acts, is equally good? If they refuse my tender, then the debt is discharged. They'll whine they didn't get paid, and this is why my account was debited. Whoever gets paid? No one can get paid until they supply us with something with which to pay, unless we use our exemption, which, being an asset, not only pays them but also exempts them from paying tax on liability funds. Since they still have my checks, they must be using my exemption to enrich themselves at my expense. Mysteriously, my account was balanced to zero, which means they did an EFT of $1,100 credit, evidence that they do this electronically on a whim. Then they closed my account. What are they smoking? CRA/CTB told me they wanted a refund from me for an overpayment of $454. Knowing that if I told them acceptance denied for cause, they would confiscate it from my CTB, so I wrote them a transfer instrument for the $454, and on the next statement they noted the non-negotiable check was credited to the account, rendering the debt on the account as paid and the balance zero. The check was for the amount of my usual monthly benefit with no deductions. So, CRA accepted my transfer instrument. I'll say it again, when creditors get vicious, or if you have something to lose by not paying them, quit fighting and just pay them with your exemption, not your labor. You have billions, it won't hurt you to be generous. Would you feel compunction about drawing up a contract with your domestic servants? No? Then why would you feel any compunction about drawing up a contract with your federal servants? Fear? Lose the fear, remember who you are, and you'll be able to do anything you want to do. I wouldn't be having this much fun if I were gainfully employed and if I did not know that all banking is fraud. Summary 1. The name on any charging instrument, e.g., traffic tickets, tax bills, statements, loans, lawsuits, debts, etc., is not you. It is the name of a government-created corporation, cleverly disguised, in uppercase letters, by the bureaucrats, to cause you to think it is you and, hence, surety for the debt. Do not blow off this fact. It is to deceive you into believing you are liable for its debts. You are not. By the way, this applies also in reverse: what you think you own, e.g., your house, because you think it is in your name, is not in your name, ergo, you do not own it. The commerce game was set up by the global elite/World Bank to confiscate your funds and property in order to make economic slaves of the entire population of a new world order under their complete control. 2. The only law in existence today is contract law. What you think of as laws are only statutes and do not apply to you, they apply only to corporations. If you have no contract with the entity from which you receive a charging instrument, you are not financially liable, and you couldn't possibly have a contract because corporations cannot lawfully contract. What you signed was a unilateral, and hence, unenforceable contract. All law is commerce, all commerce is contract, no case. There is not one government agency, department, or ministry in the world that can prove that you must pay what we have all 94 been indoctrinated to believe we are bound by law to pay. Do not fall for this incredible deception any longer. Your ticket to financial freedom is to remember who you are. 3. The only way out of this mess is either to remove ourselves from the commerce game completely so that we are no longer dependent upon banksters, or to learn how to win. Their sole agenda is to control and destroy us. Compensation which involves the banks is hazardous. We can create for ourselves all that is way bigger and better: love and light, peace and joy, compassion and forgiveness, that which we were meant to be, do and have. By remembering who we are, we will learn to do what we love to do and serve ourselves by serving others, thereby leaving the banksters completely out of our new way of life. It is happening. Latest and greatest on beating the banksters, 2008. Be certain to read my articles, which I post episodically, on my blog, www.spiritualeconomicsknow.net. Commerce appears to be a game only the banksters can win. They're engaging us in it. Via our working and banking is their means of controlling us. This is why cash pay for labor, offshore accounts, barter, community currency, etc. so frustrate the tax collectors. If we can keep their mitts off whatever means of exchange we use, they can no longer control us. Banks are not our friends. Do not allow them access to your assets. When we are employed, we work for money, and the government controls our earnings, our finances, and our lives. Increasingly, government is demanding employers to confiscate not only wages but also jobs, outsourcing. It claims to protect us from scams when the truth is they want complete access, ultimately, to all our assets. They also prefer we invest in government pension plans rather than in ourselves in order to perpetuate their Ponzi schemes. No one, under age 50, who paid will ever see any return. Please stop working for a living. The world is full of liars who work within the controlled media and bureaucracy, and who typically claim that all things which enable people to escape from the debt trap are illegal. James Phipps, we can no longer afford to work. When one fails to make ends meet, he is tempted to correct the effect instead of the cause, so he tends to get more work, which appears to create more income, rather than to work less, which will, in fact, heal the cause. To make the problem of the commerce game disappear completely, we will have to quit work altogether and begin to do what we love and serve others by doing that. Unless you are working for yourself or your friend or your family, you are supporting corporations which are destroying our lives, our fellows, and our planet. Only the elite could come up with the concept of slave labor, such an ingenious way to control the masses. As long as we continue to work, believing we were meant to earn our living, we will not be free. The main reason people struggle financially is because in school they learn to work for money but never learn to have money work for them. Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. My comment on that is, and don't think that wasn't by design. You might well ask, what can one do in the meantime while others are catching on to the fact that slave laboring for a corporation or government can only make the problem worse for all of us? If you are interested in an interim, non-commercial, financial remedy to the imminent economic shift, go to http://spiritualeconomicsknow.net/remedy. This is the easiest, fastest, fairest, most equitable, and most ethical way to get cash into your mitts without involving the bank's control over our lives. In his book Stop Being a Victim, the author discusses the myriad of internet and home-based business opportunities and concludes that a one-up program, such as the one I offer, is the only biz op which is fair and equitable to everyone, not just those at the top. This program began over 5 years ago and never a glitch, because it is private. I received $19,000 in the first 4 weeks. 95. Many people still want to remain under the protection of the banks and have been programmed to believe that removing themselves from that is folly, when, of course, the opposite is true. The only freedom is getting out from under their control. Initially, we can do this whilst still using their currency. Once we quit falling for their fear for our survival programming, we will feel free to exchange only our time and talents with one another and quit using all payment systems. Finally, we will feel safe enough and loving enough simply to do what we love to do and find a way to serve our fellows whilst doing so. When we can give our time and talents from knowing that we are all one, only then will our belief in separation disappear. We are on our way. This program is only the first step to our freedom. Those who express concern over the possibility of not getting seem not to do well. Those who are excited about giving for the ultimate purpose of assisting each other in escaping our self-imposed slavery seem to do well in this activity. It will reveal to you precisely from what position you operate your entire life. If you are not doing what excites you, you are not doing what you were meant to be doing. Remember, if you are not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. Be the change you want to see. Mahatma Gandhi. Namaste. I honor the place in you in which the entire universe dwells. I honor the place in you which is of love, of truth, of light, and of peace. When you are in that place in you and I am in that place in me, we are one. All behavior unlike love is motivated by our fear of punishment based upon our inaccurate belief in our guilt. My book is free for the asking, please feel free to forward it. If you paid someone for it, please request a refund. Since we have yet to manifest a world without commerce, I still gratefully accept and appreciate contributions/donations. Accordingly, please contact me, for my present postal location, at what_muirk@yahoo.ca. Know that I love you, stay as free as you can. 96 Bibliography. Harry Brown. How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World. Donna Eden. Energy Medicine Foundation for Inner Peace. A Course in Miracles. Bob Frisell. Nothing in this book is true, but it's exactly the way things are. John Taylor Gatto. The Underground History of American Education. Lynn Grabhorn. Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. G. Edward Griffin. Creature from Jekyll Island. David Hawkins. Power vs. Force. Eye of the Eye. I. Bird Hotchkiss. Your Owner's Manual. David Icke. Infinite. Love is the Only Truth. Everything Else is Illusion. Rice McLeod. Lectures on Who Are You. Peter McWilliams. Ain't No Crime If You Do. Gary Renard. The Disappearance of the Universe. Thomas Zass. Myth of Mental Illness. Theodore R. Thorne. Truth in Money. Kenneth Wapnick. Lectures and Books on A Course in Miracles. Marianne Williamson. Lectures on A Course in Miracles. Robert O. Young. The PH Miracle. Balance Your Diet. Reclaim Your Health. 97.